Have you ever stared at that chart in the back of the FAR-AIM? The one with all the little boxes showing cloud clearances and visibility, and thought, who designed this thing? Because it looks like someone spilled a spreadsheet on a perfectly good afternoon. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. And today we are going to crack open Federal Aviation Regulation 91.155, basic VFR weather minimums, and make it actually make sense. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Because here's the thing about 91.155. It's not one rule. It's a whole family of rules hiding inside one regulation, and each one changes depending on three questions. Where are you? How high are you? And what kind of airspace are you in? Let's start with the simplest case. You're below 10,000 feet mean sea level in class golf airspace. Uncontrolled, out in the practice area. The minimums are 1 statute mile visibility, clear of clouds. Wait, no, that's not right either. And this is where people get tripped up. Below 1,200 feet above ground level in class golf during the day. You need 1 mile visibility and you need to remain clear of clouds. That's it. Clear of clouds, no specific distance requirements from them, just stay out of them. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. That clear of clouds rule exists because down low in uncontrolled airspace, you're probably doing pattern work or maneuvering near an airport that doesn't have a tower. The speeds are lower, the traffic is slower, and frankly, the regulation is giving you the minimum standard to see and avoid. It is not saying this is comfortable, it is saying this is legal. Now climb up, same class golf airspace, but now you're above 1,200 feet AGL and still below 10,000 feet MSL. The numbers change. You need 1 statute mile visibility during the day, but now you need cloud clearances, 500 feet below clouds, 1,000 feet above clouds, 2,000 feet horizontally from clouds. Think about that for a second. 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. There's a memory aid that works pretty well. The numbers read 152, 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal. Some people remember it as 152, like a Cessna 152, whatever gets it into your head, but here's the part that actually matters. Why is the above number bigger than the below number? Think about it from the other pilot's perspective. An airplane descending out of a cloud is coming toward the ground. If you're below that cloud and there's only 500 feet between you and the base, you have a little reaction time. But if you are above a cloud and someone is climbing up through it, they are coming fast and you need more room. 1,000 feet above gives you that margin. Now let's make it interesting. Same airspace, class golf, but you climb above 10,000 feet MSL. The visibility requirement jumps to 5 statute miles, and the cloud clearances change to 1,000 below, 1,000 above, 1,000 horizontal. Everything gets bigger because the speeds get higher. At higher altitudes, aircraft are moving faster, and you need more time and space to see and react. Now let's shift over to controlled airspace. Class Echo. This is the airspace most of us fly through on cross countries above 1,200 feet, AGL, when we are not inside a Class Bravo, Charlie, or Delta surface area. Below 10,000 feet in Class Echo, you need 3 statute miles visibility. Cloud clearances are the same as Class Golf above 1,200, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal, 3 miles versus 1 mile. That jump from 1 mile in golf to 3 miles in echo is the regulation's way of acknowledging that in controlled airspace, there's more traffic, faster traffic, and instrument traffic mixing with VFR traffic. You need more room to see them, above 10,000 in class echo, same as golf above 10,000, 5 miles visibility, 1,000 feet in every direction from clouds. Now the airspace that students always forget, class Bravo. The big one, the upside-down wedding cake around major airports. In Class Bravo, you need 3 statute miles visibility and you must remain clear of clouds. Not 500 below, not 1,000 above, just clear of clouds. Why? Because everyone in Class Bravo is talking to ATC. Everyone is on radar. Everyone has a transponder. You're being separated by the controllers. The regulation trusts the system to keep you away from the instrument traffic, so it drops the cloud clearance requirement down to simply stay out of them. Class Charlie and Class Delta. 3 miles visibility, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. Same as Class Echo below 10,000. These are controlled airports with towers and radar, and the standard 3 and 152 applies. Here's where it gets practical. You're planning a cross country. The weather briefing says 3 miles visibility with scattered clouds at 2,500 feet. Can you fly? Well, where are you flying? If you're in class golf below 1200 AGL during the day, you only need 1 mile and clear of clouds. You're legal. If you're in class echo, you need 3 miles visibility. You've got exactly 3 legal barely, but can you maintain the cloud clearances? Scattered at 2500 means cloud bases around 2500 AGL. If you're flying at 2000 feet, you have 500 feet between you and the clouds. That satisfies the 500 below requirement, but it's tight, really tight. And here's what the regulation doesn't tell you. Legal is not the same as smart. 3 miles visibility with a 2,500-foot ceiling means you're flying in haze, probably can't see the horizon clearly, and your checkpoints are going to be hard to pick up. The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate good aeronautical decision-making on a check ride. Filing VFR into marginal conditions and quoting the bare minimums is not what they want to see. The airman certification standards for private pilots say you need to demonstrate the ability to identify and assess weather-related risks. If you launch into minimum VFR conditions and something gets worse, your decision tree just got very short. Let me give you another scenario. You are flying at 3,500 feet MSL over terrain that sits at 1,000 feet. So you're 2,500 AGL. You cross from uncontrolled class golf airspace into the class echo surface area around a non-towered airport that has an automated weather observation reporting a ceiling of 3,000 broken. Suddenly you're in class echo and you need 3 miles visibility and the 152 cloud clearances. The ceiling is 3,000 broken, so the cloud base is at 3,000 AGL, which is about 4,000 MSL over that terrain. You're at 3,500, that puts you 500 feet below the clouds. 500 below is the minimum. You're legal, but if that ceiling drops to 2,800, you either descend or you're busting the cloud clearance rule. And descending puts you at 2,000 feet AGL over unfamiliar terrain with 3 miles visibility. Technically legal, practically, you're flying into a box. The regulation is the floor, not the ceiling, pun intended. One more thing students miss. Special VFR. When the weather at a controlled airport drops below basic VFR minimums, you can request a special VFR clearance from the tower or approach control. Under special VFR, the minimums drop to 1 mile visibility and clear of clouds. During the day at night, you need an instrument rating and an instrument-equipped airplane. Special VFR is a tool, a useful tool, but it is not a shortcut. It means ATC is separating you from IFR traffic one at a time, and you are flying at low altitude and low visibility near an airport with terrain and obstacles. Use it when you need to depart or arrive, and conditions are just below VFR. Do not use it as a way to fly across country in bad weather. So let me give you the practical takeaways. First, know your airspace. If you cannot look at a sectional chart and immediately identify whether you're in Golf, Echo, Delta, Charlie, or Bravo, the weather minimums are meaningless because you do not know which ones apply. Second, memorize the numbers but understand the logic. The numbers get bigger when speeds go up, when altitude goes up, and when the chance of mixing with instrument traffic goes up. Third, build personal minimums above the legal minimums. If the regulation says 3 miles, maybe your personal minimum as a student or low-time pilot is 5 miles. If it says 1,000-foot ceiling for clearance, maybe yours is 2,000 feet. That margin is what keeps a normal flight from becoming an emergency. And fourth, when you're sitting with your examiner on the oral portion of the check ride and they ask you about VFR weather minimums, do not try to recite the entire chart from memory. Tell them the logic. Tell them why the numbers change. Show them you understand the system, not just the numbers. That information comes straight from 14 CFR 91.155 and the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual. If you want to see the chart laid out, it is in the back of every FAR AIM in the regulatory section, and it's worth studying until the pattern clicks. All right, that's your weather minimums breakdown. Go build a cheat sheet, then throw the cheat sheet away after you understand why each number is what it is. That's when you've got it. More at radiohangar.com. Fly smart out there.